Oh, goody. Let me have it when you're done with it.
Of course. Edith, wouldn't it be just grand if we could go to boarding school?
Wouldn't it? Agreed Edith enthusiastically.
But I sometimes fear I'll never get to one, continued Betty mournfully. I suppose I'll have to be like Miss Jane and go out sewing for a living.
Oh, you goose! Imagine your ever being like dear old Miss Jane! And Edith laughed hilariously at Betty's lugubrious countenance.
What in the world are you laughing so about? Asked a third girl who had just approached.
Oh, Ada, what do you think?
Exclaimed Edith excitedly, neglecting to answer the question.
Betty has a new boarding school book out of the Sunday school library.
Well, you two are the craziest things about boarding school I ever saw. You don't ever expect to go to one, do you? You wouldn't know how to act if you did, Ada informed them mockingly.
I should, replied Betty firmly. I should know exactly how to act in every circumstance. I have learned all about it in 4 years at Lakeside and good times at Irvington.
Oh, you have, said Ada sarcastically.
Well, you'll never get there anyhow, and you might as well make up your mind to that first as last.
With which cheering piece of advice, she walked off.
Quoth the raven, nevermore, croaked Betty, looking after her disgustedly, and the two friends sitting on the wisteria-covered porch of the old manse, their heads close together, were soon absorbed in their new find. The same evening, Betty, the daughter of Dr. Baird, the Presbyterian minister of the village of Weston, was walking to church with her mother when her father, who had been stalking gloomily a little in advance, painfully engrossed with his evening sermon, turned suddenly, saying, "Elizabeth, come into my study after the service." Betty had just passed her 14th birthday. She was small for her age. A mass of tow-colored hair with a promising glint of gold in it framed the soft oval of a winsome face lighted up by dark glowing eyes. Her mouth in repose may have had classical shape, but as she was an incessant talker, this was problematic. Dressed in simple dimity and wearing a jaunty white sailor hat with an aggressive-looking red quill stuck in the band, she was a picture which drew many pleased, friendly glances. She was leaning confidingly close to her mother, with her slim, sun-browned hands locked affectionately over her arm, and was talking with her accustomed impetuosity, the whimsical curves of her mouth indicating that the subject was humorous. At her father's abrupt words, she stopped her chattering and looked up at her mother, squeezing her arm questioningly.
"What's up now?" she whispered uneasily.
But as they were about to enter the church, she received no answer, except a look which told her to wait. During the quiet service, she felt like a culprit. To her excited imagination, there was an added awfulness in her father's voice and a distinct flame in his severe black eyes. Every word was a menace.
"But what have I done?" was the insistent question in her mind.
She went searchingly over the day, but not one transgression could she uncover, unless, was it possible that after all these years her father had, in the morning service, seen her eat those three pink peppermints which Mr. Jones had given her? Ever since she could remember, it had been Mr. Jones' custom to push stealthily along the seat, with plump, freckled hands, three, always three, pink peppermints. Today he made his customary offering while they were singing "How Tedious and Tasteless the Hour," and she had wondered if the solemn little man had meant to perpetrate a sly joke. She considered Mr. Jones a perfectly delightful old gentleman, with his red wig, stubby gray whiskers, and big steel-bowed spectacles. His preternaturally solemn blue eyes, peering out of his sandy face, itself not unlike a pink peppermint, never wandered from the preacher. There was something pleasantly clandestine about the whole performance. Well, Betty mused, if it was not the peppermint business, it may have been that laugh. She had happened to look over where old Mr. Dinkum, with a blissful expression, sat singing, "Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow," as his face